Father, thank you that all scripture is breathed out by you and profitable for teaching and reproving and correcting and training in righteousness, so that your people might be competent and equipped for every good work. Father, we pray that as you speak this bit of the Bible to us now, would your word go out and do in us all that you inspired it to do. In Jesus' name, amen. Your body matters more to God than it does to you. And that's saying something, because our bodies matter to us quite a lot. Think of the amount of time that we spend exercising or sleeping or washing or even just looking in the mirror. Think of the amount of money that we spend on food to feed the body, on clothes to dress the body up, on health products, on medicine, on sport. Think of that fear we all have of the doctor saying to us there's something wrong with your body. Our bodies matter to us very, very much. We are jealous for them, we guard them. But your body matters more to God than it does to you. The Bible says that the body you have, that is not just like the body version of a paper cup that you use once and then can just throw away. Your body is not the stage for your own beauty. Your body and mine is there, is given us to glorify God. That's how this little section ends. Verse 20, glorify God in your body. And that is true for all of life and for everything that our bodies come into contact with. But the particular focus here in this bit of 1 Corinthians is on one area of life, on sex. And what Paul does here is he turns on its head, he turns around what we think about sex in our dark moments. In our dark moments, we think what God says about sex is proof that our bodies don't matter to God. He doesn't care. And if he did care, he wouldn't have said what he said. And Paul shows us, no, that's wrong. What God says about sex is proof that your body matters more to him than it does to you. Because if my body didn't matter to God, if your body didn't matter to God, he would not say, I want you to glorify me in your body. If your body did not matter to God, he would keep his glory miles apart from the bodies we have. But he hasn't. He says, your body is there for my glory, therefore glorify me in your body. Paul then gives us three reasons why we should do this. Here's the first one, verses 12 to 14. Glorify God in your body because your body belongs to the Lord. Your body belongs to the Lord. Some phrases we all know, they're part of how we think and speak. So let me just prove this to you. Haters gonna... Hate. Thank you. Einigkeit recht und... Hi. Harry Potter, the boy who... Boy Who Lived, not all of you know that one, don't worry. Well, Corinth had phrases a bit like those, and one of them was, all things are lawful for me. In other words, I'm my own man, I belong to myself, and I am free to do whatever I want with my body. Paul says that's not true. I'm not my own. Look with me at verse 12. All things are lawful for me, but not all things are helpful. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be dominated by anything. So I'm not free to do whatever I want. I need to ask, will this help me love Jesus? Or will this dominate and enslave me? Now, why isn't a Christian free to do whatever he or she wants? Because my body belongs to the Lord. I am more his than I am mine. And therefore, if I give myself to someone or something that he has forbidden, I am stealing from the Lord. I'm stealing my body. Now, at this point, you might be thinking, Paul, you're being stupid. Paul, didn't you go to school and do biology 101? Our bodies are sexual bodies. The body's made for sex, and sex is made for the body. It's just like food. When I'm hungry, I eat a doner, and when I'm turned on, I have an orgasm. Paul, you're being stupid. Verse 13. There's another Corinth phrase. Food is meant for the stomach, and the stomach for food. Spoiler, that they're not talking about food or stomachs. And Paul says, okay, if you want to talk about what our bodies are made for, let's talk about what our bodies are made for. Let's talk about what God made our bodies for. God can't have made our bodies ultimately for sex, because verse 13, God is going to destroy both sex and food and the body. Sex cannot be ultimate because God is going to bring sex and food and the body as we know it to an end. So what did God make our bodies for? What is their ultimate purpose? Well, look with me there at the end of verse 13. The body is not meant for sexual immorality, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. That is our Maker's design. God made our bodies to belong to the Lord Jesus. So my body isn't for me, it's for the Lord. My body doesn't belong to food or to sex. Those things are going to be brought to an end. My body belongs to the Lord, and so does yours. And Paul then goes on to say, there in verse 14, that is actually why God raised the Lord Jesus physically from the dead. God raised Jesus from the dead so that with Jesus, God could physically raise everyone who believes in him for new creation life. God makes believers one with Jesus. God has raised Jesus up. God will raise us up with him. Our bodies belong to the Lord. So often Leipzig, and I guess Corinth and our world, thinks nothing is better than sex. Sex is ultimate. And God says, no, it's not. It really isn't. It's good, but it's not ultimate. I didn't make you ultimately for sex. You don't need to have sex to be human. The one true human, the Lord Jesus, never had sex. Sex and food, well, those things belong to this spare life. They don't belong to ultimate life. But if you believe in Jesus, you belong to the one for whom you were made, for whom your body was made. We thought about this a little bit last week. Paul is telling the Corinthians right now, this is our spare life. This is the life that we can give away. This is the life that we don't need to hold on to, because there is eternal life coming. And therefore, because this is the spare life, this is my spare body. This body can't inherit eternal life, Paul says, 1 Corinthians 15. Verse 13, chapter 6, this body will be brought to an end. It's a spare body. But don't think because it's a spare body, it's a throwaway body. It's a body that you and I are free to do with whatever we want. This body belongs to the Lord. And so, yes, this body will be laid in the dust, but God won't leave it in the dust. God is going to raise my dusty spare body up, just as he raised the Lord Jesus. He's going to raise my dusty spare body into an ultimate spiritual body, and he will crown it with glory and honor. Look at what Paul says there in verse 14. God raised the Lord and will raise us up by his power. No longer will we have bodies like that man of dust, Adam, bodies that decay. We will be raised with spiritual bodies like the Lord Jesus, the man of heaven. Friends, do you see? Your body belongs to the Lord. He's never going to throw it away. Not now. Not ever. The resurrection proves that. Your body is his forever. And therefore, verse 12, don't give away what isn't yours to give away. The body belongs to the Lord. Glorify God in your body because it belongs to the Lord. Secondly, glorify God in your body because it is one with the Lord. Verses 15 to 18. Have a look at your hand just to remind yourself what your hand's like. One of these things, that is less than 1% of your total body area. AI said 0.87. What does AI know? It's just a hand though, isn't it? Just a little hand. Would you want to put your hand in a dirty toilet? Well, that's an easy answer. The answer's no, isn't it? Because, at least I don't want to do that. I can't speak for you, but I don't want to do that because this isn't just any hand. This is my hand. It is attached to me. It's a member of my body. Where my hand goes, my body goes. No toilets, please. My hand is a member of my body. Well, look what Paul says in verse 15. Don't you know that your bodies are members of Christ? When someone becomes a Christian, when someone turns from sin and trusting self to trusting the Lord Jesus, asking him to be Savior and King, that is a two become one experience. You don't stop being you, and Jesus doesn't stop being Jesus, and you don't become some type of cocktail mix of you and Jesus. You become fully you in and with Jesus, a member of his body, one with him. Paul says, don't you know that your bodies are members of Christ? It's another of his don't you know questions. Don't you know this from page 2 of the Bible? When Adam and Eve marry, and God says their marriage is a pattern for every marriage to come, Genesis 2:24, two will become one flesh. And because marriage is a picture of the Lord Jesus' love for his church, page 2 of the Bible is telling us, showing us, that God's people, believers in Jesus, are destined to become one with Jesus. And it's not just there on page 2 of the Bible. Jesus said this, John 14, I am in you and you are in me. And Paul says it here, verse 17. He who is joined to the Lord becomes one spirit with him. Christian, don't you know that you are one with Jesus? God put you in Christ, and what God has joined together, no one can separate. You're one with Jesus forever. You're more a member of Christ than my hand is a member of my body. Theoretically, and please, please don't try and prove this, theoretically my hand could be cut off and separated from my body. But if you're trusting in Jesus, you can never be cut off from Christ, a member of his body forever. It is now, if you're a Christian, it is now impossible for you to be alone. Do you know that? It's impossible for you to be alone because God has joined you to Jesus and made you a member of his body. So that wherever you go, Jesus goes with you. Tragically, though, some of the Corinthian Christians had taken Jesus to very bad places, to the brothel, and even to a prostitute's bed. Look at verse 15. Do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them members of a prostitute? Never! You're one with Jesus. How dare you then think about becoming one with a prostitute? Don't you know what happens in sex, Paul says. Verse 16, don't you know that he who is joined to a prostitute becomes one body with her? Page 2 of the Bible again. For as it is written, the two will become one flesh. Even as Paul says, sex is not everything. It is not the ultimate end and ultimate purpose. He also says sex is not nothing. Sex is not like football or chess or paragliding, just one in a random list of hobbies. You do your thing, I'll do mine. Sex joins together. Two become one. Sex unites people because God made sex a picture of the Spirit joining Christians to Jesus. And because sex is a uniquely powerful picture, a uniquely joining picture, sexual immorality tears us in a uniquely painful and damaging way. Now that's what verse 18 is saying. Every other sin a person commits is outside the body, but the sexually immoral person sins against his own body. There are other sins that harm the body, gluttony and self-starving, self-harm and suicide. But because sex is so unique in the way it joins bodies together, it has such a unique power to destroy in sexual immorality. One of the saddest realities of being human in a fallen world is that we feel such an ache in us at times, such a longing to be whole, and we think that sex outside of marriage will make that ache go away. And it doesn't. It just tears us more. In pain beyond words. Paul says, you are one with the Lord, so don't become one with anyone who isn't your spouse. Don't you see your body is one with the Lord? Now, it's very hot, so let's think of something else for a second. Let's think of holidays. Who is going to go on holiday this year? Ah, oh, lovely. Keep your hands up if that holiday is going to cost you more than €1. Why did you choose to pay for a holiday when for less than €1 you could have Googled the picture of where you're going? Screen's too small, very good answer. Why isn't a picture of, say, the beach, why isn't a picture of the beach enough? Well, yeah, the screen's too small. It's so obvious, isn't it? I mean, the picture could be good, but I'd be an idiot to hold on to the picture instead of going to the beach. And I'd be an even bigger idiot to not go to the beach and hold on to the picture and then think I had the better deal. Sexual immorality is just a torn and blurry and poisoned picture. Being one with Jesus, that is the beach. That is the holiday. That is ultimate. And Paul pleads with the Corinthians, don't hold on to the picture. Go to the beach. Verse 18, flee from sexual immorality. If you don't drop that picture and run from it like you would run from death, you'll never make it to the beach. And wouldn't that be a tragedy? Wouldn't it be an absolute tragedy to miss the beach because you're holding on to a picture? Torn, blurry, poisoned. What does fleeing look like? Fleeing begins with your eyes, doesn't it? It begins with your eyes when you get to the Freibad or to the lake. Fleeing means don't book the same hotel room as your girlfriend or boyfriend if you're going on holiday with them. Fleeing means telling someone if you've been holding on to the picture. Now, fleeing isn't something we do alone. It's something we do together because we all need help. And if you've been holding on to the picture, get a brother or sister to pray with you tonight. There'll be no shame in telling them that. I can almost guarantee they'll have had the same struggles and fights. Flee sexual immorality. Don't hold on to the picture when you could have the beach. Do you see here how Paul just gives such an enormous dignity and meaning to our bodies? Fleeing sexual immorality is part of how we glorify God. So that when you don't go to the strip bar or the brothel, maybe on a work trip or because no one knows you there, when you don't say yes to the one-night stand, when you don't scroll down to the porn sites, when you don't play around with your boyfriend or your girlfriend, you're not just saying no to something. You are saying to the Lord Jesus, I find you more precious than anything else. I want you. I want the beach. I don't want the picture. And you are glorifying God with your body. Which means, I guess, that those moments of greatest temptation can also be the moments when God is most glorified in us. As we're so tempted and yet we turn and say, no, I want you. Glorify God in your body. Your body belongs to the Lord. Your body is one with the Lord. And lastly, verses 19 to 20, your body is a temple of the Lord. I don't know what you think of when you hear the words temple. Maybe you think of the Buddhist temples in Leipzig. There are two, according to Wikipedia. Maybe you think of a ruin you saw on holiday, maybe in Greece or Turkey. Maybe you think of the Angkor Wat temple built in the 12th century. It is the largest temple in the world, 400 acres big. It is too big for my PowerPoint, too big for the screen. Whatever you think of, you need to think bigger. Think with me of creation. God made the whole world as a global temple for his praise. Creation itself is a signpost to what your body is. Or if you're not into geography, think history. Think of Solomon's temple in the Old Testament, towering above Jerusalem, covered in gold and jewels, filled with the glory of the Lord, the presence of the Lord. And that temple was a signpost pointing to your body. Creation, Solomon's temple, even sex. Sexual intimacy is a signpost to what your body is. If you're a Christian, you are part of the reality that sex and Solomon's temple and all creation points to. Look at verse 19 with me. Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? You might find it helpful at this point just to tap your arm or pinch yourself or just to look at part of you. That body, that you, that is what Paul is talking about. Your body is a temple of the living God. Now, in chapter 3 earlier, Paul said that the whole church is God's temple. Now he goes and makes it personal. You, individual Christian, you are a temple of the Holy Spirit. Heaven meets earth in you. God loves to dwell in you. God displays his honor and glory in you. How on earth did that come to be? It came to be when God joined us to Jesus. When God joined us to Jesus, he gave us Jesus' Spirit, the Holy Spirit, so that the life of Jesus would be given to us, so that all that Jesus is would be given to us, so that just as Jesus is the eternal and final temple of God, joined to him, we would become temples with him. Members of Jesus, joined to Jesus, one with Jesus, a temple of his Spirit. Now, you are not just a wonder of the world, you are. You are a wonder of eternity, a temple of the Holy Spirit. Do you see your body matters so much more to God than it does to you? And because you and I are God's temples, we're not our own. Our bodies don't belong to us. God has full ownership and rights over us. But it is such a loving lordship. It is such a loving ownership. He has put his own Spirit, his own Holy Spirit in us. Do you see then the problem with the Corinthians' attitude to their bodies? When they bought prostitutes for a couple of hours, they were turning their backs on the Lord who bought them for eternity. They were treasuring the spare life instead of the eternal life Jesus gives. They were throwing away their bodies when the Lord Jesus had bought them. And yet, it's not just their problem, is it? There's only been one man who's lived the perfect life, the sexually perfect life. That's Jesus. And there, all of us here tonight, in one sense, are sitting in the same boat. We've all sinned sexually in body or in mind. We've taken the Lord Jesus to awful places. Places we wouldn't want to name. We've betrayed him. We have desecrated, entweiht his temple. And we've disowned his lordship. And we've torn ourselves in pieces so that we are damaged and defiled and devalued in ourselves because of what we've done and tragically sometimes because of what others have done to us as well. So that the question I've been asking myself this week is, which person, if they truly knew me, would want me? That's a question you asked yourself too. Which person, if they truly knew all you'd done with your body and your mind, who would still want you? And the answer is Jesus. Jesus wants you. He wanted us so much that he let our sin take him to the worst place. Not a brothel, but a cross. And at the cross, he bought us. You see that there in verse 20? You were bought with a price. What price did the Lord Jesus pay for you? Not the damaged price, the discount price for damaged goods. Jesus paid the full price. He paid his own life and his death to make you and me his forever. He was shamed so that he could give you his honor. He was desecrated and defiled so that you could become his temple. He wants you, and he bought you at the fullest price possible. Do you see, your body matters so much more to him than it does to you. Therefore, Christian, your body is not a write-off. It is not damaged and defiled beyond repair. It is no longer devalued, desecrated, damaged. It is Jesus's body. He has bought it. And one with Jesus, with his spirit in you, God has covered all shame and bought you free. And the body that you and I have taken to awful places, that body, through his death at the cross, the Lord Jesus now intends to take to heaven when he raises it from the dust to become like his. Your body belongs to the Lord. Your body is one with the Lord. Your body is a temple of the Lord. Therefore, friends, glorify God in your body. Amen. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for something that feels almost too good to be true. We thank you that you would care for us and our bodies so much more and so much better than we have. We thank you so much for the Lord Jesus. In his name, amen.